But anyway, when I was in high school, of course, y'all know that I was a sports addict. Played football, baseball, and basketball. And soccer was not a thing we knew back then, except at PE. So, but anyway, my life in school was a life of transition. I played quarterback in football, pitched in baseball, and of course in basketball you shoot. But it was kind of interesting that how I thought about it is that it was always transitioning for me. Like, for example, simple things like, but they were important things. In football, when you quarterback, you throw, and when you throw, you turn your hand in, and you spin the ball off the inside of this forefinger. In fact, I threw the football so much that I would get a big callus on the inside of my forefinger. And when you come out of football season, you had to transition into basketball, where you're used to just doing this all the time. All of a sudden, you're playing basketball, and you're doing this. And if you do this, you're shooting the ball off. And so I had to, my first few three or four days in basketball, I was constantly in this transition. Okay, follow through, straight follow through. But then when I got to baseball, where football was like this, baseball for me was like this. Because I would throw the ball off my middle finger, and I would have a big callus on my middle finger. So it was transition. These transitions, the crazy thing was I went from football season to baseball season, and then back down there in Florida, you had spring practice, which was 4 weeks of football. So I went football, basketball, baseball, football. And then you started all over again in the summer training and stuff like that. But it was always this place of transitioning. And I was thinking about it when I got a baseball scholarship to went and play baseball. My walk with the Lord was not too cool. In fact, I would not say I had one. Even though when I was 16, I had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I knew it was real because before I got saved, sin was fun. After I got saved, all of a sudden, sin, I was miserable. And I kept, y'all heard me say it so many times, I rededicated my life that my committer wore out. But in that place, in that time when I transitioned, there was this transition in when I left this junior college in South Florida to go to Alabama to play football, which I didn't know. I went up there to play football, but I went up there to meet my wife. It was really the reality. And also God to do a thing in my life. There was a transition that occurred in my life. There were things that I had to lay aside and that altered the course and direction of my life. I had to lay some things aside. And that's what we're talking about today. Laying aside things that hinder our ability to receive the truth and the glory of Jesus. Now this is part, if you go to the next slide, this is part of a series that we started about three or four weeks ago about laying the foundations of spiritual growth. All spiritual growth, I believe, fit into these four basic foundations. In fact, I will say this to you. You want to grow in anything, you can take these four foundations and apply them into it. You want to grow in how to throw a football, I guarantee you these four foundations are in there. You want to learn how to play golf, I guarantee you. The thing I talk about, sports, whatever it is. You want to grow in something, I guarantee you these four foundations will be in it. But this is scripturally true, and these four foundations are literally what you see in this James chapter 1 passage. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, I got the numbers wrong here, all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word. These four things. Go to the next slide and you'll see them. We delineated them out in order. It's to receive the revelation of God, and I preached on that. And then Mitch talked about responding to the word or God's revelation. And third thing, what we're going to talk about today is lay aside. Next week or sometime in the near future, we'll talk about practice or proving. So what is it talking about here? Now, let me just give you an illustration. I wish, Daniel, we don't have the headphones, do we? So let me do something here. We know that the Word of God tells us that when we believe and transformation occurs in our hearts, the programming in our heart determines everything about who we are. What we see, what we hear, what we speak, what we do, how we feel, how we love, how your spirit functions, how you believe. Everything comes out of your heart. And so let's pretend that my hand is symbolic for my heart. And so literally what happens is that God wants to give us revelations. And we'll say, this pen is a revelation from God. But a lot of times when God reveals something to us, babe, can you stand up here a second? We're going to let you be the one that God's revealing stuff to. So back up a little bit so people can see on both sides. Okay, so hold your hand up. So God's wanting to reveal this. But what literally happens many times is there's things in our heart that's contrary to the revelation in which God has given us. Like God had called me into holiness, into walk as righteousness. But I was so far from that in my early life that it wasn't even funny. Everything was contrary to the truth of who I was. It's kind of interesting to me, that if this is my heart, literally, God had called me to walk as a holy man of God, loving women, and not using them. But reality is, in my heart, was things, selfishness, and using women for my selfishness. And all of a sudden, I go to college, and God brings me Paula. Well, let me say this. This don't add up with her. And so God had to lay some stuff aside in my heart, because what her and I laugh often about how that if she would have known me 6 months before she met me, she would not want to have anything to do with me. She would have just told me to fly a kite. And so, but anyway, so think about this progression. God wants to reveal something. He's revealing his truth. And then what happens is we have to respond to it and receive it. But then in this situation, there's something blocking our heart from walking and receiving this truth fully. And that's what we're going to talk about. Thanks, babe. That's what we're going to talk about today, laying aside things that are contrary to truth of this. Let's go on to the next slide. And there's some things, truths about this that I want you to focus on. So the focus is not laying aside. We never can lay that, overemphasize that. The focus is Jesus. Now notice this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside, every sin and weight or encumbrance that so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race set before us. And here's the key part, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So the focus is always Jesus. The focus is always the truth of Jesus. The focus is always the glory of Jesus. It's not about laying aside. That is not the emphasis. Laying aside is always in response to him. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the thing I found out. You cannot get rid of enough crap to end up like Jesus. You just can't. I'm going to say this. When you start shoveling crap out of your life, you will keep shoveling. And I have done it. I have tried to shovel crap out of my life, rededicate. And guess what? It just seemed like as soon as I pulled something out, something came in. But the reality is that when we focus on the reality of Jesus, we start filling ourselves with the reality of him. It has an effect in our lives. And guess what? It automatically pushes out the realities of the crap that fills our lives. But now we have to agree with him. So the first thing I want to emphasize is it's a focus on the truth. Go to the next slide. And notice these passages of Scripture in 1 John 3 and also 2 Corinthians 3:18. My favorite passage of Scriptures. If you want to say, well, these are foundations of your ministry, Rick, these are them. We're like in 1 John 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him, hope is the object of your faith. He who has his hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he himself is pure. Because I have watched people fix their hope. Now, think of your hope as like a electrical outlet. It's where you plug into whatever you deem as a source for life and living. Your job can become a hope. A family member can become a hope. Whatever it is, it can be. And I could start quoting a number of past scriptures. You know, like 1 Timothy 6:17, instruct those who are rich in this world not to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us all things to enjoy. So it's easy to plug your hope in money or whatever. But if you fix your hope on him, notice that it says, it automatically, you purify yourself. You purify yourself just as he himself is pure. Why? But we with an unveiled face, you've laid something aside, as beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're transformed from glory, from the same image as from glory to glory. So the focus is him. So anything I'm going to lay aside, I'm going to lay aside in relationship to who he is. I've shared with y'all before, one of my son's issues that he has is that he can be a pain in the butt to me sometime, in a good way. I mean, he and I are always kind of, if we're together, we're kind of not fighting like that, picking on each other, having fun. But one of his favorite things to do to give me a hard time is to walk up to me and lick a finger and stick it on my glasses. And so all of a sudden, I've got my glasses have these big fingerprints on them. And he'll do it. And so it starts to affect what I see and how I see. And so that's sort of what happens is with us, because Satan knows that if we can see Jesus, see him as he is, we become like him. So what he tries to do is distort how we see him. And so that is what we want to lay aside, because we know that if we can see him. And so go to the next slide. Is that the summarization with this, when it says in James chapter 1, putting aside, and it'll list off these things, receive the implanted word, the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, that it's, this is a summary of what I'm saying. Laying aside is the action of removing any thought, belief, spoken word, action, relationship, or any other thing that hinders our minds and hearts from receiving and walking in the glory and the truth of God. That's what it is. So when we talk about laying aside, it fits within the context of receiving the Word of God, responding to the revelations of God, laying aside anything that's contrary to the truth of that Word. And then we'll talk about practicing at a later date. So these are the foundations I want you to lay aside. So let's talk about laying aside as a part of the foundations of spiritual growth. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, laying aside relationships that hinder us from receiving the truth. This is under the heading of laying aside environments that would distract us from the truth and glory of God. Environments. You know, whatever environment... How things grow always is determined by the environments. You know, you go over to the Middle East, there's fertile ground there, but there is not a good environment for growing. You know, I mean, you can pour water on the ground and it's gone in a few minutes because the ground is so parched. I mean, you know, so the environment determines the growth. And so one of the things is laying aside relationships that are contrary to this. Notice these passages of scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, Psalms chapter 1:1 says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. How does it sit in the seat of? Oh, my mind's like, huh? Sit in the council of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners. No, I got it backwards. In other words, it's not cool. When you hang around with uncool people, it affects your walk. I'm sorry, my mind just went blank on it in Psalm 1:1. But literally, bad company corrupts good morals. And notice this past scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony is Christ with Belial? What has a believer in common with unbeliever? Some of us in this room, to grow, there's some things we're going to have to lay aside, and it has to do with the people we hang around with. Now, the problem is, for me, you know, well, before I tell you the problem with me, you know, you heard the saying, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you hang with the buzzards. Problem was, for me, I was a buzzard. I was one that you didn't want to hang around with. And so, but I will say this, God can change us. Thank God he can change us. And there's many times I didn't want to hang around with me. That was the problem, be honest with you. I didn't want to hang around with me. And I'm sure many of you in here feel like it many times also. But there's a time that you go, okay, I've got to lay aside some relationships. And I'll talk about that in a second here. Second, the effect, the environment of growth. Second thing is laying aside passive mindsets. Go to the next slide. And what I want to show is some of the things in relationship to Jesus and catch a vision of how Jesus responded to stuff. Notice, in fact, let me just put a commercial in here. The thing that I really believe that hinders, one of the biggest things that hinders our growth is a passive mindset. Because one thing is that we take our spiritual growth for granted. My question to you is, how many times in the last week did you think about growing into the likeness of Jesus? And I would dare say that many of us would be not very many times. And that's an indicator to me of passiveness. And then also, all of a sudden, God reveals something to you. And you catch revelation of something, and you know that there's something in between what you've got, that what he's saying to you, and there's something in your life you got to lay aside, and you sort of sit with it. And notice this passage. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. That's passive. That's passiveness. It's not, many versions say fear, but it's literally timidity, passiveness. But God's saying, I've given you a spirit of power, love, and literally the Greek word here, it says discipline, but it literally is the Greek word that means safe mind, a saved mind. In other words, you've got a mind that thinks aggressive in relationship to who God is and what God's saying to you. And so laying aside a passive mind can create an environment of growth. It's going, I mean, can create, help hinder, remove stuff. Notice the next one is, in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, laying aside worries, or literally there for worries, it's got to do with busyness. And I'll say this to you, probably one of the biggest hindrances, if I go around this room, hindrances to your growth in the Lord, I would say, in the vast majority of all of us, the number one reason would be busyness, worries. And notice what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. The seed, the word of God, which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. They've responded, they've received. And they go on their way and are choked out with the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. That word for life there is the Greek word bios, meaning physical existence. And to bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, the implanted word of God does not bring any fruit because there's a place of intentionally laying aside the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. But Jesus, I love what it says about Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. That's crazy. Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. He emptied himself of everything so that he can become that for us. And here's the question to us. Is there some things that we got to lay aside so that we can receive the fullness of him into here? So, creating environments, laying aside things that would hinder the environment of growth in your life and my life. I told you about my, real quickly, I told you a little bit about my junior college years in Avon Park, Florida. I mean, when I first landed there, it was not pretty, like I said earlier. I mean, you know, the question was, is how many nights a week were we going to party? And well, this is while I'm trying to play baseball, you know, in college. And how much trouble we could get into. And the crazy thing that was interwoven in that time was, is that I had got just saved just before I went to college, and there was this conviction in me that I needed to change. And I remember reading, I said, well, I guess it'd probably be a good thing to read my Bible. And I remember thinking that, well, I'm going to read through the Bible. And I was smart enough, I said, well, I'm going to read the New Testament. So I started with Matthew, and I remember this. I read Matthew, Mark, and I got halfway through the book of Luke, and I said, and I thought back, I'm going, do I remember anything I read? Did it have any impact on my life? And I had to say, no. And I'm going, what is going on? And I mean, like I said, that was in that period of time that I was going to church on Sunday and rededicating my life. But then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was back in the world. And I was total frustration. I mean, miserable. I remember a girl looking at me one time, we were at a party, and I'm just running my mouth, standing there with a beer in my hand and just cussing every other word coming out of my mouth. And she goes, and she had gone to church with me one of my times in between those party moments. And she looked at me and she said, I thought you were a Christian. And you talk about, in fact, that still stings today. Can we say that? I just really stood there speechless with that beer in my hand. I was not exhibiting coolness in any way, Jesus, any way, shape, or form. And one thing I did have enough wisdom to realize, I needed a change of environment. And so God graced me with the opportunity to start change the people that I hung around. There was these two guys that went to school with me. They were not hardcore Jesus guys, but they were guys, good old guys. In fact, they were the guys that came with me to Jack State to visit Jack State the very first time. And helped me come to Jack State. I changed the environment in relationship to the people that I hung around. So if you're going to change your environment, so some of the things you may think about growing in the Lord is lay aside maybe the people you hang around with. Lay aside mindsets of passivity. Lay aside worries. A heart focused on the worries, because literally the Greek word for worry literally means divided thoughts. And the concern for riches and the pleasures of this world. Let's go on. The second thing is that may have to be category laying aside, things that pertaining to a lack of knowledge. Because notice what it says in Isaiah 5:13 and also Hosea 4:6 combined, where it says, therefore my people go into exile, that's in Isaiah, but in Hosea says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Because now you go, how do I lay aside a lack of knowledge? Well, easy. Just start listening to God. But go on, because I want you to notice with Jesus, I love this about Jesus. Jesus just did not walk aimlessly. Notice in John 13:3 there, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing. He knew it. The Father had given all things into his hands. And notice the next statement. He knew where he was from, and he knew where he was going. When you know where you're from, and you know where you're going, you know what it does? It affects everything in between. And so
for you and I to catch revelation. I am born from above. I am not of this world. I am going to heaven. And you know, I have a heart to fulfill everything that God has prepared for me between here and here. The seed He's given me to plant in this life, I want to give it all. I'll be honest with you, Paula gets frustrated with me in this, but I, you know, at times, because sometimes I can be out of balance in this, but I am just so intensely purposed on fulfilling the very destinies that God has prepared for me here, that I, you know, many times do not use wisdom and how to walk in this. I can be kind of not smart. How about that? But in that place, I just want to say unto you and I, to catch revelation of where we're from, where we're going. And it will affect everything about us. Let's go on to the next passage of Scripture. Laying aside mindsets of untruth. I want you to get this passage of Scripture. Go to the next slide, please, in Ephesians 4:25. Now notice what it says. Therefore, laying aside falsehood. What do you think it's got to do with just telling lies? But notice what it says. Laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Speak truth with one another. Speak truth. That's not just not telling each other lies. Literally, it's declarations of truth in relationship to who God is, who we are, who are the other people. In other words, like in Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but that which only gives grace to the hearer. You know, or how about like Proverbs 26, like a madman who shoots fiery darts is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not kidding? I never forget one time. We used to have class right over here, intern class. I don't know, it's probably one of Amy's days in there. But we had the table sit over here like that, and those shades weren't on the windows there. And there were these, so everybody's pulling up in their trucks and cars and stuff out there coming into class. And so we're standing there, and one of the girls, Katie Cadell, y'all remember Katie Marshall, but she's standing there, and one of the guys walks in, and he's walking in with another guy, and he came in driving a different truck. It was, and Katie says to him, "Wait, you got a new truck?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got a new truck." Oh, he said, "Really?" Oh, and then Katie, you know how Katie could get, "Oh, that is so awesome." You know, Katie's real exuberant. And then, but I knew that the truck was his sister's. And I got over in his face and I said, "Don't you dare kid her like that and lie to her. She does not need to know that a man will deceive her and tell her a lie and make a joke and at her expense. So you speak truth or keep your mouth shut." Speaking truth to one another. Not only just where you deceive each other for a laugh, or whether you're not speaking truth into one another, declaring, you know, I had enough words spoken into me that I was a failure, never amount to anything. In fact, I will say this, some of the depression that I dealt with 2 years ago was because of the lies that had been putted in my heart. Putted. See, good grammar. In fact, I want to put a commercial in here. You do realize that you were created, your heart was created to only receive the truth of God. That's what you're created for, truth. And that truth will evoke in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's what you and I were created for. But any lie planted in our heart will evoke emotions. If you wrestle with depression, that emotion is signaling something. If you're experiencing worry, that emotion is signaling something. If you're experiencing fear, that emotion is signaling something. Paul and I were talking about last night a fear of failure. That fear of failure is signaling an emotion that there's a belief in your heart that you cannot measure up, that there's a possibility of failing. Well, my conviction is with God, there is no failure. Because he promises us that he will always cause all things to work out for our good. Now, sometimes you're having to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you're having to go to the middle of the Red Sea, you know. But you got to, that's many times in that place I'm going, well, Paul and I, okay, I'm believing, we're believing. He will accomplish all things which concerns us. Right, babe? And so notice Jesus. Here he is at the most pivotal point in his life in the garden. And notice the response of him. I mean, sin and death of all the world is sitting on his soul. Every abuse that's ever occurred is sitting on him. And notice his responses. He was saying, Abba, Father. First off, y'all, I don't know if you ever, I love it in the Middle East. When you go to the Middle East and you hear a little kid, just saying, Abba, Baba, Abba, Baba, Abba. I'll never forget, I was standing beside the Dead Sea one time. That's where I really heard it, a little kid. Baba, Abba, Baba. And I'm going, oh. Because you know what? God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts crying out, Abba. Daddy, Daddy, is what we'd say in English. But here he's starting off, Daddy. I mean, it's Jesus in a point of pain. He's declaring truth. Notice what he says. All things are possible for you. I mean, he's not shrinking back in unbelief in the point of this point of sorrow. So intense was it that he's sweating drops of blood. But he kept a focus on truth, declaring truth. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. Now, that's a man. That is a man. Let's go to the next slide. Laying aside fears of shame and defeat. Look in John 4:20-42. Nevertheless, many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. What there? In the next verse says, for they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. In this place where they did not know where they were from or where they was going. They believed in him, but they were not responding to it. They were not laying aside the fears of being put out of the synagogue. Okay, big whoop. But like, instead of this, notice what Jesus did. Look at this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Notice what he does. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And notice this next one to me. Despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God. Two things were important. Well, three things. One, he set his eyes for the joy set before him. Endured the cross. But this word despising is a word that communicates putting off. Because a lot of us, I know shame literally means to cover. And what we do many times, we cover ourselves with the shame of our mistakes and our failures. But there's a place of going, no. I can remember what Robbie used to say. Get up off of me, devil. You know, get up off of me. But get that, just laying it aside. Because it's not in line with the truth of who God is and who we are. Because he is the author and he is the perfecter. Where Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, which I've quoted this many times, I'm confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, he will what? Perfect it. He will. So laying aside areas of lack of knowledge and where it would cause us to shrink back in fear and doubt. You know, there was this young girl that we knew back in the day. She was a girl that had had a pretty rough past. In fact, she used to be a big partier. In fact, she hung around, was sort of a groupie for one of these large rock groups back in the day. And, you know, drugs, alcohol. She had gotten pregnant, had an abortion, and then she got saved. And then I never forget, you know, she was a real, excuse me for using this word, but she was a very plain-looking girl, you know, but sweet. But I never forget, though, one night she looked at me and she said, "Rick, how can I, being used and had an abortion, believe God for a holy, righteous man of God?" And so, you know, we just started speaking the word of God into her, and she started dealing with stuff. In fact, one of the most pronounced things, I'll share this testimony because somebody needs to hear this in here. But she's going, she says, "How can it be?" And she's comparing herself, classifying herself. But anyway, I'll never forget the night that God started doing a thing in her life, and all of a sudden, she's praying about this. We're praying about this issue. God gave her Psalm 103. Where, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within, bless his holy name, bless his name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who heals all your diseases, forgives all your iniquities, redeems your life from the pit, fills your life with good things." And it goes on to say, it says, "and renews your youth as wings as eagles." And God said to her real loud, says, "As far as I'm concerned, you're a virgin." Now you think about this. I'm going, "Okay, God, how can this be? I mean, how can you say that?" And God said, reminded me that when in the biblical times, how you knew that a woman was a virgin was in relationship to the blood. And I don't want to go into details. But how do we know that we're virgins? Because of the what? The blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus speaks louder than anything. And so God said to her, "You're a virgin." And it was so cool to me. That's one of those weddings. Of course, every wedding that I, just about every wedding I do is a battle to keep my head straight and make it through the first 3 or 4 minutes without bawling my eyes out, because when you see somebody walking down the aisles that you'd prayed with and stood with and believed God with, you know, all their everything that you went through with them comes flooding back into your head. But I'll never forget that day when I walked her coming down the aisle. I mean, I didn't walk her, but I'm standing at the front, and she comes walking down the aisle, and she was marrying a holy, righteous man of God. And seeing her walk down the aisle in a white dress, and I knew that white dress meant something. And, you know, that with confidence, that "bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgets none of his benefits." And see, there was this place that she laid aside the lies of her past. I'll never forget one day she came over to visit Paul and I when we visited us. And when she walked up to the house that day, I'm going, "She looks different." And I go, "Has she done her hair different?" And I go, "No." Now, I'm saying this to myself. "She got new glasses?" "No." And I just went through the whole checklist of stuff, and I'm going, "No, nothing's changed physically. But there's a beauty about her." And then that's when the Lord reminded me of Psalm 149:4, where it says, "He beautifies the afflicted ones with salvation." And the reality was that she started confessing the truth of Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7, where she is altogether lovely. He says she's altogether lovely and there's no blemish in her. Or, "She's awesomely and wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works, O Lord, and my soul knows it very well." She started laying aside the lack of knowledge of who her Heavenly Father had, well, the lies that she had received because of her past, and started receiving into her heart the truth of her Heavenly Father, and it changed her life. And she's still married to that guy, and I think And she's got, I haven't seen her in a number of years now, but I think they got three kids or two kids. If Leah was here, she could tell us. But anyway, so the next thing that God gives us about calls us to lay aside our patterns of flesh, lust, that entices us from the empowerment and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next slide, please. Notice what it says here. That in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You know what the Greek word for lust means? Upon the mind with force. Your old self, lust. And at any point in time, I will say this, any one of us could give way into anything of our past. And the unfortunate thing is, not unfortunate thing, the reality is, every one of our, in this room, flesh looks different. It's different. But when you and I, what Satan wants us to do, and it's like in this past scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:16, for we recognize no one any longer according to the flesh. What Satan wants us to do is to recognize ourselves according to our past, or also recognize the lust that our flesh want to shoot into us. Like, for example, periodically, Paul and I will get mail from somebody else. And what do? You put the mail back in the mailbox and say, or take it back to the post office and say, excuse me, this is not ours. Now, I don't get this anymore since Bev's been getting the mail for us. But we used to. I mean, we would get stuff for the National Bank of Blacksburg. You know, people's titles and their cars and stuff like that. We'll go, uh-oh, we give it back. But sometimes you get bills from somebody else. But, and so you want to return it back. I'm not going to pay your bill. But this is what hit me the other day. That's what Satan tries to do to us. He tries to mail us things from our past and get us to own it. Oh, that's who you are. That's what you used to do. Own it. Recognize yourself that. You know, I speak to you guys in a program. Well, Satan wants you to think that you're an addict. Recognize yourself as an addict. No, you're not. If any man is in Christ, he's a what? New creation. You know, and so there's this place of us laying aside two things. One is the identities of the flesh. Our second thing is to put aside the recognitions of the lust of the flesh. That when all of a sudden something in you, your old self, rises up and says, go there, feed it. Y'all, my flesh, periods of time, will lust after pornography. I mean, like one time, I was telling the guys in the prayer room this morning, I'm on my way back from Florida. I had one of those crazy weeks, you know, where this was a number of years ago when his, you know, business was kind of crazy down there, and I'm coming back and stopped in just north of Jacksonville to stay in a hotel. I was by myself, and I was just wore out. I was also tired. I was frustrated, some of the stuff that was transpiring. And so one of my things that I will do, that I will lay in a hotel room with a television remote and click, because I cannot stand commercials. And so, you know, I'll click from show to show. And, you know, until I see something I like, but then as soon as the commercial comes, I'll go to something else. And so, but anyway, I'll never forget this one night. I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden I'm clicking on it, and all of a sudden there's a porn channel. And I'm going, in my flesh, I could feel it going, you want that? I could feel that enticement, and I'm going, no, I know where that leads. I mean, literally, the fear of the Lord hit me. I'm going, I know where this goes. This is death. And so I go as fast as I could because I knew where it was. I recognized that voice of the flesh, and I had to lay it aside. If I gave into that, I knew where it would go. It opened doorways which I had laid aside many years in the past. Notice this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse. Let's go to the next slide, please. For the time, I wanted to say 3, but for some reason I wanted to say 13. For the time already past is sufficient for you to having carried out the desires the desire of the Gentiles, literally the lust of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And this is the interesting thing about Jesus. This is the passage of Scripture. Y'all realize this? I don't know if you ever recognize this, but in Matthew 27, 34, when Jesus is hanging on the cross and the pain was excruciating, one of the, quote, humane things that the Romans used to do was give people wine and gall. And what it would do is it would sedate the pain of a cross. And that's humane of the Romans to do that, huh? Yeah. But interesting thing to me, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And notice what he does. They gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. In other words, I mean, an easy thing for Jesus would it to go is, I need to sedate this. But it's crazy to me to think about that he said, no, everything that any one of my brothers or sisters would ever feel, I've got to feel exactly. Because what did it say? In all points, he's been tempted just as we. In other words, y'all, there's times that pressure gets on us and we want to sedate in the flesh. But it never profits. God told me one time, he says, be very careful how you rest, because it's easy to rest over into the flesh. And I'll never forget how crucial it is. Robbie telling a story. I'm going to tell one on Robbie while he's not here. Robbie's not here, is he? No. Hannah's here. You know, Robbie came out of Dunklin. You know, he's a big dong down there. He was working. He's one of the main leaders in the church there. He had also headed up the program. Director. Yeah, director, and was doing it. And all of a sudden, he comes up here, and you know, came up here to start something, but there's nothing happening. So the only job he could find was with Jimmy Curtis, painting. And the funny thing to me was that Robbie, he said the very first day he was working with Jimmy, and they were painting in the morning, and all of a sudden they had lunch break. And then all of a sudden Robbie's telling, he said, all of a sudden, and I may have the story messed up, so please forgive me. I'm not trying to exaggerate it, but this is how I remember it. So Robbie started tasting the taste of beer. And it hit him. Was going, what is going on here? And it hit him that when he was, before he got saved, he was painting. And what they would do every time they would have a lunch break is they would what? Drink beer. And so here he is in this period of time that his flesh is wanting to, here, Robbie, you're a nobody. Here you are in a painting business. You're a nobody, Robbie. You know, and here's the taste of beer on him. It had been very, you know, what Paul and I walked with Robbie and Tony in those times, it had been very easy for Robbie to sedate into that. And it's very possible, y'all say this, if he could went into that, there's nowhere these guys would not be sitting over here today. Very easy to think about that, to give in to the flesh. So Robbie, like many of us, are to lay aside those identities of the flesh, of the past, to lay aside those lusts of the flesh, because they do not define who we are, but to embrace the things of the Spirit that God has for us. The last thing I want to share is to lay aside strongholds and demonic enslavements that block us from experiencing God's presence, provisions, or truth. And notice this, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance, literally weight, and sin. Those are two types of strongholds which so easily beset us, and let us run the race. Many of us are holding on to strongholds that can affect our lives. Notice, like in Mark chapter 11, go to the next slide. It says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. Many of you, some of you in here, I'm not going to say many, but some of you in here are holding on to strongholds of unforgiveness where you've been wronged or somebody's wronged somebody you love, and you're holding on to that. Paul and I were hanging with some people recently, very precious people, but been hurt really bad. And it's been a good, significant period of time that they were that this event had occurred. And these people know ministry. They know the truth. But this pain event, they're still holding on to the unforgiveness. And I'm going, why do you want to hold on to this? You know, strongholds that will block you off from God's presence, provision, truth. And not too long before that, he's talking about how he's dealing with depression and feeling, you know, and I'm going, how can you expect not to be holding on to that crap? You know, or going to the next slide. Notice this one. Do not judge so that you not be judged. For in the same way you judge, you'll be judged. For by your standard of measure will be measured to you. By why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, go to the next slide, please. Let me take the speck out of your eye. Behold, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Notice these phrases. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they'll trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. That word for holy is a word that can be saints. When you hold on to judgments, you literally turn yourself over to demonic entities. That's what that passage of scripture is talking about there. Judgments or judging inappropriately. And some of us in this room are holding on to judgments against other people. And then they're holding you enslaved. Even unforgiveness can lead to a demonic enslavement. Many of you probably remember the testimony. Sorry, babe, telling this testimony again. But when I was in seminary, but I just want to share this because somebody needs to hear this, and God put it on my heart. But when I was in seminary, you know, married, two kids, you know, and all of a sudden lust became a dominating influence in my life. And I knew something was not right because I'm entertaining these lustful thoughts and I'd have to take it captive and cast it out. I mean, literally, y'all heard me say before probably that my head felt like one of those rubber balls with a wooden paddle, you know, bunk, 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 and I'd throw a lustful thought out and it'd come flying back. And I really am saying this to God, God, this is not freedom. And I remember saying to some brothers one Sunday at church, I said, hey, you guys, will y'all meet with me on next Saturday? I need to deal with some stuff, man. And I told them what was up. And I really appreciate those brothers. They didn't go, oh, man, hide the wife and kids. You know, Rick screwed up. You know, he's really, you know, I'm going, man. But they really said, okay, bro, we'll meet with you. And that's when God showed me that there was somebody very dear to me that had an affair. And the effects of that had affected my heart. Where I had unforgiveness on that person and I had judged that person and had anger. And literally that day when I forgave that person and asked for forgiveness, I had 200-pound feed sacks, one on each shoulder, and I threw them off. And it was God's honest truth. I literally started running around that room. I was so free because I laid aside strongholds that were holding me back. And so there's things in our lives that God is trying to, he's speaking truth into us. And the power of the truth and the revelation of God, the glory of God, will transform us. But Satan is so smart. He's done to us like Shay would do it. He's affected our line of sight. He's blocked your eyes from seeing clearly the glory of Jesus. And there's things you have to lay aside in relationship to your environments. There's things you have to lay aside in relationship to the lack of knowledge or flesh patterns, or even strongholds or demonic enslavements. I heard a story. This is supposedly a true story of a guy out in Texas. He was a hunter. And one day he's going out hunting out in the woods. You know how Texas is kind of prairie type stuff and a lot of scrubs. But he comes across and finds this huge rattlesnake, massive rattlesnake, 6-7 foot long. Big old thing. And so it's just huge. And he knew it's just so big. I mean, I can't remember how big it was, but it was massive. So he decides he wants to keep it. So he catches it. And so he takes it home and his wife begs him, kill the snake. Kill the snake.
I mean, and he said, so he says, no, it's just so valuable. And so, and it's so massive. So I want to keep it. So he builds this cage for this snake. And he puts it on the back porch of his house. And so he puts this big snake in this cage. Well, one day he's out behind his house near his barn, and he hears his daughter screaming, just in terror. And he goes running up to the house and looks. And what had happened, his daughter had opened the cage to the snake, and the snake had wrapped itself around her head and was biting in her face. Killed her. And when I heard that, I'm going, God, we do that with sin. We do that with things that God is giving us revelations that we can be free of, and we're trying to treat them as our pets. When the reality is that many of the strongholds or lies or the environments that we entertain, we build cages for and keep, can either kill us or the people we love. And so God is to lay aside stuff, and I don't like to speak stuff in fear, but there's a soberness that we need to have in relationship to the revelations of God in our lives. Because you got to realize this. Strongholds and stuff that we sow in our lives very rarely manifest themselves in the same season in which we plant them. The things that affected our relationship, the things that affected our relationship in our intimate relationship were planted in our lives years before we ever knew each other, and the things that we had to pray through, wrestle through. And so when God starts speaking truths to us, to reveal to us, to set us free, there's a place of receiving it. There's a place of responding to it through faith or power of confession. But just about always, anytime God reveals something to us, there's something to lay aside. And so, Tulio, if you'd help me, I want you to pass. Pull it. Tulio's going here. Pass out. And I hope there's enough for everybody to take two sheets of paper. And if you need pencils, here's a pencil. Here, Liam, you be pencil man. If anybody needs pencils. Anybody wants to put any money in there for Liam in exchange for the pencil, he would gladly appreciate it. Why don't you pass these out? Caleb, I'm giving him, he'll receive money too, right? Hey, Liam, can I borrow your hat? Anybody else bring a hat? Addie, can I borrow your hat a few minutes? I know you're styling it today, but your hair is beautiful. You won't borrow it for a few minutes. What we're gonna do is with these sheets of paper, there's two of them, and I'm gonna pray something. And what I want to ask to do is that God would give you, or He may have many of you, like for me, I already know, give you a revelation of what He's trying to say to you right now, some facet of truth, some facet of the glory of who He is, or who He says you are. And I want you to write it on one of those sheets of paper. On the other sheet, what I want to ask you to do is write on there what is the obstacle that would be a hindrance for you to receive and the fullness of what that truth or glory is. And then what I want to ask you to do is, hey, Grant, can you come up and just sort of...
Say it again, one thing at a time.
Okay. Name, you can come too. Cool. On one sheet, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to give you a revelation of a truth or a facet of his glory about what he's saying to you, who you are, who he is. And then on the other sheet, I want you to write on it what would be the hindrance for the fullness of that truth or revelation of glory to have its fullness in your life. Is there something he's calling you to lay aside? Can you go all the way back to the fourth or fifth slide where it's talks about laying aside, please? Laying aside is the action of removing any thought, belief, spoken word, action, relationship, or any other thing that hinders our minds and hearts from receiving and walking in the truth and the glory of Jesus. Thought. Maybe the words of your mouth. What have you been speaking into your life? What kind of thoughts have you been entertaining? And so what I want to ask is, so I'm going to pray and ask for that revelation to come, and then I want to invite you to come and put Liam's hats over here and Addie's hats over here, and we're going to burn these things, y'all, so don't worry. Not the hats. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the greatness of who you are, that you're constantly revealing to us the truths. Your truth, knowing that it is the truth that sets us free. Lord, you're always constantly revealing to us the revelations of your glory, knowing that your glory, your thoughts, opinions, and recognitions about who you are, who you think we are, who you're declaring that we are, knowing that when we see your glory, it transforms us into the same image as from glory to glory. So, Lord, I pray right now for revelations of your truth and your glory be revealed to all of us in this room today. Lord, I pray also, Lord, that discernment will come, that we can see the things that are hindering our eyes from seeing the revelations of your glory. What are the things, Lord, that we're building cages for and entertaining just our pets? Lord, that knowing that these pets are things that are bringing destruction into our lives. Heavenly Father, we just want to come and just in agreement with you, lay aside these things, God. In Jesus' name. So just feel free as God puts it on your heart. And I want you to keep the truth one. Keep the truth one. So, and remind yourself of the truth. I want to declare over us that the end result of laying aside and receiving the glory and allow it, our truth, birth in our lives, is the end result is to grow into the very likeness of Jesus. And in different facets of our life, to fulfill the destinies that we have, he has for us. So I'm going to pray here, Tulio. I'm going to pray and this solidify the things that we have placed in these hats. Also, I want to ask you to keep that sheet. And that, you know what Hebrews 10:23 says? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, for faithful is he who promised. So, I just really ask you to hold fast and confess that truth into your head. I remember one time I was going through a really hard time, a depression, and I remember, this was a good number of years ago, and I remember God gave me that 2 Corinthians 1:20, he always leads you in triumph. And I would get up in the morning, I'd feel that heaviness get on me, and I'd go, he always leads me in triumph. He always leads me in triumph. And leads through, you know, spreads through me the sweet aroma of him in every place. Declare that into your heart. Declare it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father,
I thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of being my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we're in this process of being transformed into the very image and likeness of who you are. Lord, we want to take a hold of the destiny of being conformed into the image of Jesus. Lord, we want to take hold of that place of being perfected in all the realities of who you are. God, we want to take hold of that, to that place that where you say to be holy. We want to step and receive that holiness that you have imparted to us in the blood of Jesus. The righteousness that's in the righteousness of Jesus' work on the cross. Lord, we want to receive it. Lord, we want to receive the works that you have said, the greater works than these you don't do because I go to the Father. Lord, the freedom that we have in the fullness of all that is in Jesus, for it is the freedom that you came to set us free. The love that you have given to us that fills us, that is able to love those who persecute us, our enemies, Lord, because you, Jesus, have filled us with the revelations of your love and the fruit of your Spirit dwells in us with love and joy and peace. So God, I just speak blessings over my brothers and sisters. And Lord, all these things that we laid aside, Lord, we declare as this, Lord, where they were on the cross. Lord, when you took them on the cross and then you put them in the tomb and Lord, you put a stone in front of it and you shut it up. You shut it up, God. Not only did you shut it off, but you hid it and then you destroyed it, and to where when the tomb opens up, resurrection power came out. Lord, I declare over my brothers and sisters and over myself, Lord, and my wife, Lord, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the truth of God, fill our souls. And Lord, anything that's not in the likeness of that revelation, Lord, we want to lay aside and aggressively receive the truth that you have for us. Lord, I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. Now, can I ask the prayer teams to come up, please? And so what I want to, we're going to close, but if anybody, I know we got some more. Yeah. Tina, can we, so, anybody wants to pray something through anything, we'll be up here. And so, love you guys and ladies. Y'all be blessed and have a great time, a great day. God bless.